For anyone who is or has a boss, this is The Boss Show with Jim Hessler and Steve Matenko.
Being productive at work is obviously really important. This week on the show, Jim and Steve will help you and your boss understand why they might be wasting time.
You know, I looked at that and I thought, CEOs are, surfing the internet for porn or something. No, it wasn't that.
We're also talking to our regular guest, Elizabeth Bowman, about that pesky to-do list and how to make it work for you.
So you're not only an organizer, you're a coach and a psychologist, really, to a certain degree.
Yeah, just don't tell my engineering friends that.
Yeah, that's right.
And finally, why doing nothing at all might be the best strategy for being productive.
Oh my God, I can't imagine.
Yeah, I know. It's very counterintuitive.
Seriously?
It's very counterintuitive.
So stay right there on the beach blanket, take another sip of the cold frosty one, and find out how to get more done with less stress and fuss right now on The Boss Show.
Hello, I'm Jim Hessler, the founder of Path Forward Leadership Development Services. I'm the business guy in the duo. I gave up a billion-dollar CEO career to do The Boss Show.
Yeah, sure you did. And I'm the psychology guy, and as a psychology guy, I can read you like a book and know that you just lied like a rug.
Full of crap.
The psychology guy, Steve Matenko here, and today we are going to make you more productive. Yes, all you have to do is listen to the show, and you too will be more productive.
And it's all about working really, really, really hard and putting in 20-hour workdays, isn't it, Steve?
It's working harder, not smarter.
Exactly.
Yes.
I'm glad. So we can just stop the show right now.
Aren't you glad you're listening to The Boss Show? Yeah. We want to start today, and we've got a treat in the studio with us in just a little while. Will be Elizabeth Bowman, who is the owner of Innovatively Organized, a productivity firm. She's a productivity consultant, and she's a friend of The Boss Show, and we have her on regularly and looking forward to that interview. She's going to talk about why your to-dos tend not to get to done, as I like to say. But first, we want to talk
about... To do or not to do? That is the question.
And the new question is time-wasting bosses. So McKinsey, which is possibly the most well-known consulting firm in the world, global consulting firm, recently, just a few weeks ago, did a survey of 1,500 executives across the world about how they waste time. And what they found is that very few, less than half of these executives were satisfied with how they allocate their time, which is kind of interesting because if you think about C-level executives, for those of you who don't know C-level, CEO, CFO, COO, chief operating officer, financial officer, so forth, these are people who theoretically have a lot of control over their time, and yet they're not happy with the way they're allocating
and
their
should
time.
Actually have a lot of time because they've got all their minions doing other stuff for them, right?
Right. Yeah. Kind of like we do.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they found that less than 1 out of 10 were very satisfied with the way they spend their time, the way they allocate their time. So McKinsey looked at this and they said, okay, so if they're not spending their time well, by their own admission, how are they wasting their time? And they came up with 4, and I'm going to boil them down to 3 because I really don't like the 4th.
I haven't seen this, so do I get to guess?
Yeah, you could try, but it's
going to be tough.
Yeah, you're not going to guess these.
Okay, all right, I won't try then.
The first is online junkies. And what they mean by that is not, I looked at that and I thought, CEOs are, surfing the internet for porn or something. No, it wasn't that. It's that they spend way too much of their time on online communication. Mainly, obviously, email.
Interesting.
So they're not getting out and talking to the troops. They're not getting on the phone. They're not talking in real time, face to face or otherwise, or on the phone, to people. And they're wasting a lot of time because they're afraid to deliver the messages that they want to deliver, to have the conversations that they need to have, which are actually going to be, in many cases, more efficient than email. We tend to think email is efficient because it's just me doing it, right? And I don't have to have the conversation. I don't have to deal with the person rambling on and on.
Email,
but it often doesn't work out that way.
Email's like a bag of potato chips, right?
Excuse me?
You open it up and you have a couple and it's like, I think I'll do some more and I'll do some more and I'll do some more. Pretty soon the bag's empty, and you're ashamed and feeling really bad about yourself and there's potato chip crumbs all over your shirt. Right?
There, that too.
Yeah.
So, an email to me is kind of the classic vehicle of a reactive life as opposed to a proactive life. It's like you there's no end these days to the email coming at you. So you could, it could fill up all your time. So that's that's the first category of time-wasting bosses, time-wasting executives. The second one kind of goes completely the other way, and they call it schmoozers.
Mm.
So these are the people who, instead of being in their office on email, are out of their office too much of the time, talking to people too much of the time, socializing too much of the time, just kind of, you know, the classic extrovert.
This is executive?
Well, if you think of it, I want to bounce this off you. I'm curious what you're going to say about this. We talk a lot, you and I, about how important it is, how critically important it is to be developing relationships. Absolutely. Because the higher you go in the chain, the leadership chain, the more you are getting work done through other people. So it's the through other people that has to be healthy. So the quality of your relationships have to be really healthy if your organization is going to be effective. Mm-hmm. You know, you start as an individual contributor where your relationships don't matter that much. You get promoted based on how good a relator you are in part, obviously, it's simplistic, but how healthy your relationships are, how good you are at motivating people through your relationships and so forth. So some people who get to the top are just great at relationship and maybe not so much at getting the job done.
And they see that as their seat of power and maybe overuse it or overemphasize that.
Right. Mm-hmm. So what happens is that people who aren't in that inner circle of the people that the executives are schmoozing with get left out of the loop. And that's going to cause problems and going to cause...
So it becomes a political thing. Who's Steve talking to? Who's he not talking to?
Right. And meanwhile, the executive is not getting stuff done that needs to get done.
Yeah.
And finally, the third category is what McKinsey calls the firefighters. And these are the folks who are spending the vast majority of their time on tactical rather than strategic stuff. So you kind of wonder how they got to their
position.
Never
heard that before.
Right.
That's a new one.
Yeah. So they're, again, being more reactive than proactive. They're not taking the time to think strategically, which we're constantly hammering on our participants in our workshops to do. We talk a lot about that in our book, Land on Your Feet, Not on Your Face. And the underlying issue of having to fight fires constantly is quite often what? A failure to delegate.
Oh.
So this is something we talk a lot to clients about as well. It's not like that's new to us. Sure. So firefighters, they have a tendency to deal with every issue, even though a team member at a lower pay grade ought to be handling the problem if they can handle the problem.
Well, certainly the personal productivity of the executive is critically important. They've got a lot to do. They've got more to do than they can possibly do. So how they choose to spend their time is critical. And, you know, this is a good call out to them to really think about what they're doing when they go to work in the morning. It's really amazing to me how many people actually don't think about what they're doing when they go to work in the morning. They're just totally in reactive mode.
And that's really true. This notion of personal productivity, maximizing it, is true for each and every one of us.
Sure.
And in our never-ending quest on The Boss Show to enhance your personal productivity, when we come back, we're going to be talking with our friend Elizabeth Bowman, president of Innovatively Organized, who's going to talk to us about why our to-do lists don't work. You're listening to The Boss Show.
Hello, Peter. What's happening? I'm going to need you to go ahead and come in tomorrow. So if you could be here around 9, that would be great. Okay? Oh, and I almost forgot. I'm also going to need you to go ahead and come in on Sunday, too. Okay? Thanks.
A podcast for anyone who is or has a boss. You're listening to The Boss Show.
Elizabeth Bowman, president of Innovatively Organized, a productivity consulting firm here in Seattle. Really glad to have you with us again. She's a regular guest, and welcome again to The Boss Show. We want to talk about to-do lists tonight.
Yeah.
Hey, tell us about to-do lists. I'm married to my to-do list. It's my best friend, but I know there's problems with to-do lists. Tell us about it.
Yeah, well, it's a great topic. Thank you for having me. Because with to-do lists, one of the things that always comes up with people that we work with is the fact that they want one single to-do list. And that's a big myth. you actually, if, especially as an executive or a boss, you might need to have several lists for different topics or different categories, and then be able to manage all of those in one location. So like in one notebook or in one virtual tool online, but making sure that you have multiple lists that you can sort different ways. One of the ways that you might want to sort a list is by the location you can complete something. If you're like me and you're spending half of your day in a coffee shop, right, when you just can pop in between consulting
because you never
clients.
Work, you just kind of hang out and sip coffee all day.
Yeah, she lives
know.
In Seattle. She ain't got
yeah,
to hang
you know,
coffee
you gotta hang with the locals in
yeah.
Seattle,
yeah,
right?
That's right.
But, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, when I'm in a coffee shop with my laptop, there's certain stuff I can get done there, and there's other stuff I have to wait until I'm back in my actual office to get done. So knowing how to split up your list, what you can tackle and where, is really, really important.
So it's a categorized approach. You break your to-do list down into categories or departments, for lack of a better word.
Yeah.
So before we get any further on this, yeah. as a productivity consultant, to what extent do you consider take into consideration the style of the, I mean, don't people have different styles, and so their to-do lists and multiple and groups and layers of to-do lists are going to look very different depending on what their style is?
That's exactly right. Yeah, we actually take into account our client's personality type, because you might have the personality.
For anyone who is or has a boss, this is The Boss Show with Jim Hessler and Steve Matenko.
Being productive at work is obviously really important. This week on the show, Jim and Steve will help you and your boss understand why they might be wasting time.
You know, I looked at that and I thought, oh, CEOs are, you know, surfing the internet for porn or something. No, it wasn't that.
We're also talking to our regular guest, Elizabeth Bowman, about that pesky to-do list and how to make it work for you.
So you're not only an organizer, you're a coach and a psychologist, really, to a certain degree.
Yeah, just don't tell my engineering friends that.
Yeah, that's right.
And finally, why doing nothing at all might be the best strategy for being productive.
Oh my God, I can't imagine.
Yeah, I know. It's very counterintuitive.
Seriously?
It's very counterintuitive.
So stay right there on the beach blanket, take another sip of the cold frosty one, and find out how to get more done with less stress and fuss right now on The Boss Show.
Hello, I'm Jim Hessler, the founder of Path Forward Leadership Development Services. I'm the business guy in the duo. I gave up a billion-dollar CEO career to do The Boss Show.
Yeah, sure you did. And I'm the psychology guy, and as a psychology guy, I can read you like a book and know that you just lied like a rug.
Full of crap.
The psychology guy, Steve Matenko here, and today we are going to make you more productive. Yes, all you have to do is listen to the show, and you too will be more productive.
And it's all about working really, really, really hard and putting in 20-hour workdays, isn't it, Steve?
It's working harder, not smarter.
Exactly.
Yes.
I'm glad. So we can just stop the show right now.
Aren't you glad you're listening to The Boss Show? Yeah. We want to start today, and we've got a treat in the studio with us in just a little while. Will be Elizabeth Bowman, who is the owner of Innovatively Organized, a productivity firm. She's a productivity consultant, and she's a friend of The Boss Show, and we have her on regularly, and looking forward to that interview. She's going to talk about why your to-dos tend not to get to done, as I like to say. But first, we want to talk
to-do
about...
To do or not to do?
That
is the question.
Is the question. And the new question is time-wasting bosses. So McKinsey, which is possibly the most well-known consulting firm in the world, global consulting firm, recently, just a few weeks ago, did a survey of 1,500 executives across the world about how they waste time. And what they found is that very few, less than half of these executives, were satisfied with how they allocate their time, which is kind of interesting, because if you think about C-level executives, for those of you who don't know C-level, CEO, CFO, COO, chief operating officer, financial officer, so forth, these are people who theoretically have a lot of control over their time, and yet they're not happy with the way they're allocating
and
their
should
time.
Actually have a lot of time, because they've got all their minions doing other stuff for
right,
them, right?
Right. Yeah. Kind of like we do.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they found that less than 1 out of 10 were very satisfied with the way they spend their time, the way they allocate their time. So McKinsey looked at this and they said, okay, so if they're not spending their time well, by their own admission, how are they wasting their time? And they came up with 4, and I'm going to boil them down to 3, because I really don't like the 4th.
I haven't seen this, so do I get to guess?
Yeah, you could try, but
it's going to be tough.
Yeah, you're not going to guess these.
Okay, all right, I won't try then.
The first is online junkies. And what they mean by that is not, you know, I looked at that and I thought, oh, CEOs are, you know, surfing the internet for porn or something. No, it wasn't that. It's that they spend way too much of their time on online communication, mainly, obviously, email.
Interesting.
So they're not getting out and talking to the troops. They're not having, they're not getting on the phone. They're not talking in real time, face to face or otherwise, or on the phone, to people. And they're wasting a lot of time because, probably because they're afraid to deliver the messages that they want to deliver, to have the conversations that they need to have, which are actually going to be, in many cases, more efficient than email. We tend to think email is efficient because it's just me doing it, right? And I don't have to have the conversation. I don't have to deal with the person rambling on and on.
Email,
but it often doesn't work out that way.
Email's like a bag of potato chips, right?
Excuse me?
You open it up and you have a couple and it's like, oh, I think I'll do some more and I'll do some more and I'll do some more. Pretty soon the bag's empty, you know, and you're ashamed and feeling really bad about yourself and there's potato chip crumbs all over your shirt. Right?
There, that too.
Yeah.
So, you know, an email to me is kind of the classic vehicle of a reactive life as opposed to a proactive life. It's like, you know, there's no end these days to the email coming at you. So you could, it could fill up all your time. So that's the first category of time-wasting bosses, time-wasting executives. The second one kind of goes completely the other way, and they call it schmoozers.
Mm.
So these are the people who, instead of being in their office on email, are out of their office too much of the time, talking to people too much of the time, socializing too much of the time, just kind of, you know, the classic extrovert.
This is executives?
Well, if you think of it, I want to bounce this off you. I'm curious what you're going to say about this. We talk a lot, you and I, about how important it is, how critically important it is to be developing relationships.
Absolutely.
Because the higher you go in the chain, the leadership chain, the more you are getting work done through other people. So it's the through other people that has to be healthy. So the quality of your relationships have to be really healthy if your organization is going to be effective.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you start as an individual contributor where your relationships don't matter that much. You get promoted based on how good a relator you are in part, obviously, it's simplistic, but how healthy your relationships are, how good you are at motivating people through your relationships and so forth. So some people who get to the top are just great at relationship and maybe not so much at getting the job done.
And they see that as their seat of power and maybe overuse it or overemphasize that.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is that people who aren't in that inner circle of the people that the executives are schmoozing with get left out of the loop. And that's going to cause problems and going to cause...
So it becomes a political thing. Who's Steve talking to? Who's he not talking to?
Right. And meanwhile, the executive is not getting stuff done that needs to get done.
Yeah.
And finally, the third category is what McKinsey calls the firefighters. And these are the folks who are spending the vast majority of their time on tactical rather than strategic stuff. So you kind of wonder how they got to their
position.
Never
heard that before.
Right.
That's a new one.
Yeah. So they're, again, being more reactive than proactive. They're not taking the time to think strategically, which we're constantly hammering on participants in our workshops to do. We talk a lot about that in our book, Land on Your Feet, Not on Your Face. And the underlying issue of having to fight fires constantly is quite often what? A failure to delegate.
Oh.
So this is something we talk a lot to clients about as well. It's not
sure.
Like that's new to us. Yeah. So firefighters, they have a tendency to deal with every issue, even though a team member at a lower pay grade ought to be handling the problem if they can handle the problem.
Well, certainly the personal productivity of the executive is critically important. They've got a lot to do. They've got more to do than they can possibly do. So how they choose to spend their time is critical. And, you know, this is a good call out to them to really think about what they're doing when they go to work in the morning. It's really amazing to me how many people actually don't think about what they're doing when they go to work in the morning. They're just totally in reactive mode.
And that's really true. This notion of personal productivity, maximizing it, is true for each and every one of us.
Sure.
And in our never-ending quest on The Boss Show to enhance your personal productivity, when we come back, we're going to be talking with our friend Elizabeth Bowman, president of Innovatively Organized, who's going to talk to us about why our to-do lists don't work. You're listening to The Boss Show.
Hello, Peter. What's happening? I'm going to need you to go ahead and come in tomorrow. So if you could be here around 9, that would be great. Okay? Oh, and I almost forgot. I'm also going to need you to go ahead and come in on Sunday, too. Okay? Thanks.
A podcast for anyone who is or has a boss. You're listening to The Boss Show.
Elizabeth Bowman, president of Innovatively Organized, a productivity consulting firm here in Seattle. Really glad to have you with us again. She's a regular guest, and welcome again to The Boss Show. We want to talk about to-do lists tonight.
Yeah.
Hey, tell us about to-do lists. I'm married to my to-do list. It's my best friend, but I know there's problems with us with to-do lists. Tell us about it.
Yeah, well, it's a great topic. Thank you for having me, because with to-do lists, one of the things that always comes up with people that we work with is the fact that they want one single to-do list, and that's a big myth. You actually, especially as an executive or a boss, you might need to have several lists for different topics or different categories, and then be able to manage all of those in one location. So like in one notebook or in one virtual tool online, but making sure that you have multiple lists that you can sort different ways. One of the ways that you might want to sort a list is by the location you can complete something. If you're like me and you're spending half of your day in a coffee shop, right, when you just can pop in between consulting clients.
Because you never
clients,
work, you just kind of hang out and sip coffee all day.
Well, she lives in Seattle. She ain't got to hang out in
coffee
shops.
Yeah, you gotta hang with the locals in Seattle.
Yeah, right.
That's right. But, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, when I'm in a coffee shop with my laptop, there's certain stuff I can get done there, and there's other stuff I have to wait until I'm back in my actual office to get done. So knowing how to split up your list, what you can tackle and where, is really, really important.
So it's a categorized approach. You break your to-do list down into categories or departments, for lack of a better word.
Yeah.
So before we get any further on this, as a productivity consultant, to what extent do you take into consideration the style of the, I mean, don't people have different styles? And so their to-do lists and multiple and groups and layers of to-do lists are going to look very different depending on what their style is.
That's exactly right. Yeah, we actually take into account our client's personality type, because you might have the personality where you're a very linear thinker, somebody that's more analytical. And so making a true list on paper makes sense to you, right? Or you might be somebody that's a little bit more creative, where a straight linear list seems like torture. You're
so
never
like
actually going to get it done.
Or something.
Yeah, so doing a mind map and using color coding on your list. And so there's a really cool online tool called Action Method that gives you three different colors, and we use that a lot of times, because if you could have a color for everything that's orange is what you're going to do in that coffee shop location, and everything that's teal you're going to do when you get back to your regular office, immediately, if you're more that creative thinker, more visual person, you can actually tackle your list a lot easier. And the whole list, instead of looking like stuff you need to check off, it looks like a bunch of sticky notes in the application, which
I've seen
is
that
a little bit better.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Action Method?
ActionMethod.com.
Cool.
ActionMethod.com.
Yeah. It's a great way. It's designed, a whole to-do list system designed for creative minds.
A lot of organization really is visual in nature, isn't it?
It is.
It's you have to have it in front of your eyes in a certain way for your brain to really engage with it, don't you?
Exactly.
So taking this very dry black and light list, and I use Outlook and I use categories on my to-do list. Each one of them has a little color code.
Yeah.
So when I'm sitting with Tina and Steve, for example, I'm only looking at the part of the list that says The Boss Show.
Right.
So that would be an example of what you're talking
That's
about.
That's exactly right. But we even have clients that they, you know, might even write down something on a sheet of paper when they're in a meeting taking notes, and it's something they need to do later, but they remember exactly which corner of the paper they wrote it on.
Oh,
or they remember
I've never heard of that.
They wrote that item in red ink versus blue ink. And so that matters to them much more than where it is in a checkbox or in a spreadsheet.
Okay.
And so, you know, those are the types of things we take into account. There's not a one-size-fits-all solution when it comes to getting your to-do list checked off.
I think that's a really important point because, you know, you read books saying, you know, here is the secret to time management and organization. And there just simply isn't one. They're good guidelines. Obviously, mm-hmm. that's why you're here right. talking to us. But there's no one secret because there's, yeah.
No, there's not one secret because we all have different personalities. We all have different jobs, right? Or we have a different boss or we have a different coworker that we have to deal with. And so there's different dynamics that you have to take into account. And so we usually do an assessment and try and figure out how our clients are thinking, how they're operating, how it has to fit into their day. Because you need your to-do list to work for you from the moment you wake up to the moment you go to sleep. It's not just at work.
So you're not only an organizer, you're a coach and a psychologist, really, to a certain degree.
Just don't tell my engineering friends that.
Yeah, that's right.
<'Cause> you don't want to let the secret out.
Because this shows up in the way that you help people organize their physical space. That's right. Also very much an extension of their personality as well.
That's exactly right.
Some people do clutter better than other people, mm-hmm. for example. Yeah.
What other common misconceptions are there about to-do lists?
Well, the other thing that I think is always missed with to-do lists is forgetting that everything on your to-do list takes a certain amount of time. So what most people do is they may write down an item that they need to do, but what we go through when we work with our clients is we actually go through an exercise and make you write down a time estimate next to every item on your list, because even if you think they're all the hottest item, they're all super important, they might not all only take 10 minutes. You might have some tasks that take 2 hours or 3 hours, and then you need to actually be aware of that and incorporate it into your calendar.
I've said to you before and on the show, and this is just my style, that my to-do list is only in my calendar. So if the to-do lists are low priority, they're going to be out a couple weeks, and then I might keep moving them out a couple weeks and a couple weeks more.
Okay,
but my to-do lists are only in my calendar, so there are always time assignments on each of them.
Right.
My style.
This is a good example of a style difference because my to-do list has a different purpose for me because I'm constantly spinning off ideas and I need a place to capture those. Mm-hmm. Now, my to-do list, I don't know, maybe that's not the best place for it, but it works for me. So my to-do list is really, really long and it includes a lot of things on it that aren't going to get done tomorrow. They're not going to get, no, that's not true. That's your prejudice. That's your style showing up because when I have it there, I revisit it from time to time. It re-energizes me. The timing may not be right for a project now, but it might be right in 6 months. But I don't want to forget it. I forget things a lot.
Well,
so if I don't write it down and put it somewhere and capture it, the thought will flee out of my mind like a bird and it'll never come back.
So Jim, I'm probably the hybrid between both of you because I get lots of ideas in my mind and I know if I don't write it down or capture it somewhere, it's going to be gone. But I also love making lists. And so I actually have a whole list. It's not a to-do list. It's an idea list.
Okay.
And then I review it periodically. Mm-hmm. Some people, if you read, you know, David Allen's Getting Things Done book, he calls it the someday list because you're writing down stuff to capture it.
Right.
But it doesn't necessarily have a time associated just yet. It might have a length of time to get that item complete, but it's not important enough to put on your calendar yet. So you kind of need a hybrid between the stuff that goes on your calendar because it is now a certain date that you're going to work on it or a certain time block that you're going to work on it, but not everything belongs there.
Right.
Place to capture your ideas is really important.
I agree.
But there's an interesting dynamic going on here right now, and I'm feeling it because I'm like getting defensive about how I do this. And I bet a lot of people do.
Well, your to-do list is very personal.
It is, yeah.
That's the thing nobody talks about. And especially, I see this, I'm sure you do too, in workplace situations where maybe the boss is really organized. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they have a certain way to manage their to-do list.
Right.
They have a certain way they're going to delegate. But the person they're delegating to has a different to-do list or task management, you know, way of handling things. And so that creates tension. And so you really have to be aware of everybody's style.
Mm-hmm. Boy, and you can just extend that into so many aspects of management because we find that managers are really guilty of assuming that what works for them works equally well for everyone else.
And on the time assignment thing, as a coach, I often tell my clients who are working on time management, assign projected times to each item and then add 25 or 50% because the fact is almost everything takes longer than you expect it to take. And you get interruptions that you're not putting in your calendar or your to-do list. So you have to adjust.
Yeah.
So I have a lot of clients who literally don't keep any kind of a to-do list. Now, that drives me crazy.
I can't imagine.
Am I right in challenging that with my clients? Because I say, you know, you've got to have some sort of list that you're working off of.
You know what's interesting is we find that with some of our clients where when we start working with them, they need time management help. And they either say, well, I just don't like having that structure of having a to-do
list.
It's
too much work, I hear.
And you know what we've found is that it's the term. It's like somewhere along the line, they had a manager or something that forced them into this way of doing a to-do list. And so they just resist it.
Okay.
And when we give them something that's more color-coded or give them something that's a different structure.
It has a different name.
It has a different
name.
Exactly.
The possibilities list.
Yeah. Then, you
My
know,
happy list.
It makes it something they're not so against and scared of.
Yeah,
but
that's
yeah,
a good
everybody
point.
Needs a place to capture their information and capture the stuff that has to get done.
So maybe instead of saying, hey, you really should have a to-do list, I should be asking that question in a different way.
Yeah.
How do you know what you're going to do every day? How do you capture that? How do you organize that? What works best for you?
Yeah. I've had some people where we've called it a morning list and they like that, but having a to-do list, they hate. It's just the semantics of it.
That's great because mornings are a great time to plan your day and a lot of great leaders do that.
Yep.
When we come back from the break, we're going to find out why doing nothing at all might be better than just working harder. You're listening to The Boss Show.
Jim and Steve's book, Land on Your Feet, Not on Your Face, isn't just a fabulous paperweight. It's a highly acclaimed, comprehensive guide to becoming more successful at work. And it's available on Amazon.com. Now, back to The Boss Show.
Well, sometimes we just think the key to getting things done is to work harder and harder and harder. We come out of the industrial age, bigger, faster, better. Everything's better when you get more done and produce more money and work harder and harder, harder, harder. So we're like machines. Steve, you said that earlier when we were preparing for the show. We treat people like machines. Tony Schwartz wrote an article in the New York Times. I think we've all read it. It's called Relax, You'll Be More Productive. And he says, paradoxically, the best way to get more done may be to spend more time doing less. I find this really an interesting topic. I feel like I've been on this bandwagon for a long, long time. Somebody asked me one time, if you gave leaders in business one piece of advice, what would it be? And I always say, take a walk. Take a walk.
For what purpose?
Go think.
Just to relax?
Go think.
Because I know you talk a lot to clients, as do I, about reflection, about taking the time. So it's kind of both of those for
you? Yeah, get away from the emails, get away from the phone calls, get away from the open door policy and people walking in and engaging you in tech. Go take a walk. Think about what you're doing. Look out over the horizon. Read a book. You know, be culturally literate. Study history, study philosophy, religion, whatever it is. It's so limiting to spend 60 hours a week at work and think about business. It's just not a very good leadership equation.
The other thing about relaxing is that stress leads you to bad decisions. Stress leads you to bad relationships. Stress leads you, as we talked about in a recent show, to explosions of emotion that erode everything that works well in the workplace. So that's another reason that relaxation is good for productivity.
Yeah. Elizabeth, you probably see this all the time.
I do. And, you know, one of the things I tend to think about when you say relaxation helps productivity, I also think of the concept of, you know, if you had a flight to get on tomorrow and you knew you only had today to get everything done that was on your to-do list, because once you go on vacation, you're not going to have time. You are going to sit there and get stuff done and kind of hammer through it, right? Whereas if you knew that you had that same amount of stuff to get done, but you had a week of work to get it done, you would just let it expand into that week. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, I definitely think relaxing can help, because if you schedule time to relax and then schedule certain time you're going to work, you can make stuff fit. You just kind of have to fool yourself. And I always use the analogy, you have to fool yourself. You're about to get on a flight or something like that. But you have to fool yourself, and then you'll actually work a little bit faster and more efficiently during a smaller period of time. And you'd be amazed how much more stuff you get done. I mean, we've all heard the phrase, if you want something done, you give it to somebody who's busy. It's not necessarily the case, right? You can fool yourself into being busy for a day and then relax the next day and take your walk, you know, Jim, because I do think it's valuable to have that balance in your week. Most people tend to be all or nothing, right? They're either super busy and just running through their to-do list and then think they have no time for anything else.
But another really important point here is when you're relaxing, you're still working.
Yeah.
Right? Your subconscious mind is solving problems and probably solving them more effectively than it is when you're working on the problem consciously.
Yeah, the problem is that since it's your subconscious mind, you're not aware of what's going on in there.
It doesn't
and so you don't know that you're actually becoming more productive
right.
in a relaxed state.
It doesn't feel like work. It doesn't look like work. It's not interpreted as work by other people. So
yeah, we think we have to be frenetic in order to be productive,
yeah.
and it really doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I always say the employee of the month is usually the person that puts in the most hours, and sometimes that person is just devastating the overall productivity of the organization. Because the lesson there is the way we get things done is we put in long hours, we work harder and harder. Tony Schwartz says in their research that the best elite performers rarely work more than 4.5 hours a day.
Oh my God, I can't imagine.
Yeah, I know. It's very counterintuitive.
Seriously?
It's very counterintuitive. And I had an interesting experience with this when I went to work for myself. When I stepped out of corporate America and became self-employed, I learned to gauge my productivity as something separate from the amount of time I spent on the job. And some of the very best, most productive work days I've ever had, I literally worked 3 or 4 hours, knocked off a lot of work, did some really good thinking, and went and took a walk, you know? So you have to give yourself permission to do that. It's a lot easier when you're self-employed. It's a lot harder when you work for, you know, Big Blue or somebody. And what's Elizabeth out taking a walk again?
I don't know if it is easier when you're self-employed, because I worked a lot harder as a self-employed person than I did when I worked for an organization. Again, that's probably a style difference.
Yeah, I don't feel bad about going down to the coffee shop in the morning and reading a magazine anymore. I mean, if I was employed in an office, I would have to feel bad about that because I'd be showing up late for work and they'd say, "What were you doing?" Well, I was reading the Atlantic magazine, you know. As a consultant, I feel like, well, that's an important part of my job. Working on subconsciously, all kinds of things are coming out of that reading that overlay all the work I'm doing with my clients. It's really fascinating how it works.
Well, it also depends on how your company culture is set up and how you gauge productivity. Do you gauge it by they have a butt in a seat essentially for 8 hours a day, or they're producing this result at the end? And so it just depends on which way you do it. I'm a huge proponent of not having to clock in and clock out at a certain time, but gauging performance on results, because everybody has a different style.
Good
goes back
you.
To that personality that we talked about.
Right.
Everybody, you know, doesn't necessarily like to work in the morning, and not everybody likes to work in the evening or afternoons. And so it really depends on, are you meeting deadlines? Are you doing it the best you can? And are you producing the best result? And then it's up to you to figure out how the productivity is. I mean, granted, I'm probably in the minority. Big corporate America doesn't operate that way. But I think, you know, there's
maybe
something,
it should more.
It's something that should be considered.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of the high-tech companies in this area, I think, are doing a really good job of giving people freedom to get their work done on their own schedule.
And as we've discussed on previous shows, Gen Y is having that influence
That's
on
right.
corporate America very gradually, because it, you know, turns like an ocean liner turns, corporate America does, but it's happening.
So if you're a boss and you want to have a more productive workforce, you might encourage people to go work out during the day.
Mm-hmm.
You might encourage them to take a nap, which has been proven to be incredibly effective as a productivity tool. You might encourage them to get 8 hours of sleep at night, because it's a huge difference, apparently. You might encourage them to take their full vacation, which is another thing we've talked about on the Boss Show. And you know, this creativity curve with the busyness curve, there's a real declining rate of return on busyness. And so think about it. You don't have to be busy to be productive. You're listening to The Boss Show.
This is The Boss Show.